The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently -3 degrees and cloudy in Montreal. I'm Thomas Quinn, and here are today's headlines. We'll have the latest on the COVID-19 restrictions in Quebec. We'll bring you to Alberta, where businesses are defying restrictions and reopening. And Butters the Turkey is still on the loose in Montreal. The latest COVID-19 numbers are just out for Quebec. There are 1,328 new cases yesterday, up by 162 cases. There were 56 new deaths, adding up to a total of 9,577. Yesterday, there were 3 new hospitalizations, bringing the total to 1,324. A health advocacy board is warning Quebec that it will take legal action if they implement ICU triage protocol in intensive care units during extreme levels of occupation. Patients may need to be triaged for access to the ICU, which means not everyone would get a spot. Assistant Deputy Health Minister Dr. Lucy O'Patney says the protocol could be used in the following weeks. President of Conseil pour la protection des malades, Paul Brunet, says that resorting to a national triage protocol has sown concern in the health community. On a similar note, the Quebec government is not going to contest the Supreme Court's decision to exempt homeless people from the 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew. Lionel Carmont is the Minister of Health and Social Services for the Quebec government. Carmont announced this via Twitter at 8 a.m. this morning. Last night, Supreme Court Justice Chantal Masse ruled that the province-wide curfew should not apply to the homeless. Carmont says that since the beginning of the curfew, their intention was to redirect the homeless to social services and not to punish them. In other news, there have been many questions about when the lockdown restrictions will be lifted. Yesterday, Legault said there will be new announcement next week regarding the COVID-19 restrictions. Meanwhile, we are still under lockdown and only able to buy essential products. However, it seems what an essential product is up for debate. Our reporter Vanessa Ippolito is here with the story. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Thomas. There still are restrictions on what is essential and what is non-essential in many stores as well as pharmacies. However, it differs for each store. Many products in the cosmetic section still cannot be purchased. However, hair care and hair dye is purchasable. Magazines are also considered unessential and cannot be bought. The main surprising unessential product is winter gear. February and March are right around the corner, and many people still cannot purchase winter gear in certain stores. Tipiha Sivrahatnam has been working as a cashier at Pharmaprix on Boulevard de Carry for a year and a half in Saint Laurent.
It's crazy how, like, in some stores we're allowed to buy, like, I don't know, like gloves, and in other stores you are not. In some cases you are allowed to buy, like, you're allowed to buy like hair dye. I don't know why, because in my head, like, it would be a non-essential, right? Like, hair dye. I think it's crazy, but, like, his rules don't really make sense to me.
Vanessa, did I hear that right? That winter gloves are not for sale in some stores?
Yes, that's right. In some stores, you can't buy winter gear. Obviously, many people think that winter gear should be made an essential product. Like Sivaratnam just mentioned, it makes no sense that winter gloves cannot be bought, especially at local pharmacies. There are many parents that are concerned because they have trouble finding a place where they can buy winter clothes for their children. Also, there are essential workers who are working outside all day, and they as well cannot buy winter clothes. Homeless people are actually the biggest risk because they do not have an option to order a pair of winter gloves online. Let's hope some changes get made before the cold weather hits.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thanks, Thomas.
Restrictions on non-essential products and services are also affecting construction companies. Reina Ephraim has more.
Construction companies and contractors are having trouble gaining complete access to the equipment and materials necessary to complete renovations for clients. Mathias Rueda-Henke works for Suchan Renovations. This company works on renovations in bathrooms and kitchens. He says he is concerned about the difficulties of booking and pushing back appointments for clients in need of renovation.
I think in regards to the whole like COVID situation, it's like extremely frustrating to anybody who's kind of in construction right now. Because there's like multiple concerns as a result of that. You know, like for one part, supplies are like extremely, extremely limited, even to the point of like paint. Like there's essential types of paint actually you're only allowed to buy. So you couldn't get like diverse colors and, I don't know, bring finishing the way clients would like.
He says the restrictions on equipment has put many projects on hold and is affecting relationships with the clientele in need of urgent renovations.
There's constant delay and there's constant like, because mind you, often working on contracts, because you know, you can have a contract that's multiple years, you know, so there's a few contracts that we were taking on that we had already been working pre-COVID, you know, and so there's a bunch of promises you made that you can no longer kind of live up to, which is also really, really equally frustrating. That anytime you really go to a store, half the things you kind of need to do your job, you just can't really get.
Reina Ephraim, Concordia News, Montreal.
Montreal's record stores have also been greatly affected by the regulations banning in-store shopping. They haven't been able to open since the end of December. Charles Fretier-Gauvin has the story of how some record stores are coping or not coping.
Record stores are a staple of Montreal's cultural landscape and a quasi-religious space for many. However, due to the city's most recent regulations banning in-store shopping, many stores are clutching at straws. Édouard Cabral is the owner of Sonorama Disc, a prominent Bernard Street record store.
Well, we don't do nothing. I mean, if I got one pickup by day, that's all I got. I mean, and I've got to pay the rent, and I've got to pay the electricity, and I've got to pay all the charges, you know, for a store.
January is usually the shop's busiest month. Cabral estimates that the regulations are costing the store tens of thousands of dollars. Though the store is still open for pickup, customers are few and far between. Cabral says he has been making around $200 a week since the new regulations began, relying on the money saved from the busy months preceding Christmas to stay afloat.
No, it's tough. It's really tough. For not only for the record store. I mean, every local small business is like, it's crazy tough right now.
But Cabral has hope that his shop will be able to reopen on February the 8th when the regulations are set to end. With no help from the city, however, it's up to Cabral to fend for himself until then. Charles Fretier-Gauvin, Concordia News, Montreal.
Looking at other parts of Canada, tightened COVID restrictions have remained in Alberta since before Christmas. Restaurants have not been able to open for dine-in services since December 13th. However, today, some Alberta businesses will be opening their doors. This act of defiance comes after a cafe opened up to the public last week. Olivier Pichet has more on this story. Hi, Olivia. What can you tell us about what's going on in Alberta?
Hi, TQ. Some restaurants in Alberta have decided to go against government regulations and open up their doors today. This solidarity movement comes after Whistle Stop Cafe opened its dine-in services on January 21st. The owner opened its doors after the Alberta measures causing restaurants to remain closed were extended. The cafe was issued a stop order the following day from Alberta Health Services. The cafe, however, remains open, defying the stop order and ignoring warnings of stronger enforcement to come. Other businesses have decided to follow the lead and have marked today as the day to stand together and open their doors.
What do you know so far about the businesses that are taking part today?
While some businesses set to open are being cautious and staying quieter than others, a restaurant in Bashaw has been heavily promoting their grand opening. The Noble Fox has been publicly advertising their decision to go against health protocol and making their open hours very clear.
How are Albertans reacting to this?
Now, of course, not all Albertans are happy with these businesses breaking COVID restrictions, but looking at how the Whistle Stop Cafe has remained busy since their opening, it's clear that other Albertans are definitely on board. The cafe has remained full despite warning customers about the risk of fines and possible arrest. Albertans have been vocal about showing support today to the businesses opening up. I think it's fair to say that business owners are not only expecting customers to come in, but also a probable visit from Alberta Health Services.
Thank you, Olivia. That was our reporter, Olivia Pichet. Internationally, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says that Canada is very concerned about the situation of Uyghurs, Muslims, in Xinjiang, China. Trudeau says his government will make sure that no Canadian companies benefit from forced labor from that region. As Lauriane Tremblay reports, this was welcome news to people in Canada who were concerned about the situation.
Kyle Matthews is the executive director of the Montreal Institute for Genocide and Human Rights Studies at Concordia University. Matthews says he was pleased to hear Mr. Trudeau bring up the issue, even if he feels like it's long overdue.
I think it's positive. I think it's long overdue. And I hope that it signals the government of Canada is going to take a stronger stance on this issue, that it will, in fact, ensure Canadian companies are not profiting or even operating in that part of China, because it goes against Canadian laws, it goes against Canadian values, but I'd even add even further, it goes against international law.
He says he hopes it signals that Canada will take a stronger stance on this issue and ensure that Canadian companies are not profiting or benefiting from forced labor. Mehmet Tati is a prominent Uyghur Canadian activist. Tati says he is also pleased to hear Trudeau's statement, but he feels like it's not enough. He wants to see concrete policies.
First positive step to address the issue, but it is not enough. And we have to be more specific. We have to have more process and a specific policy.
Tati thinks Trudeau should put in place a total ban on operating in and importing products from Xinjiang, since he says he's 90% sure Uyghur forced labor is involved. Lauriane Tremblay, Concordia News, Montreal.
You're listening to Concordia News, CJCN. I'm Thomas Quinn. It's currently -3 and a beautiful snowy day in Montreal. Hopefully the weather's okay for the wild turkey that Montrealers have named Butters. Butters is on the loose in the NDG Côte Saint-Luc area. As Chanelie Desparois reports, people are so concerned about Butters, they have been going on Facebook to track her whereabouts.
Butters has been seen everywhere in the area, whether she's walking around or hanging out in people's backyards. Walter Ling is administrator of the community Facebook group Thrive NDG. Ling says Butters has become a point of debate for the group. He says people are getting into fights about what should be done with Butters.
Fights, actual fights, like real serious fights between, you know, grown-up people about the fate of this turkey.
He says the debate is this: should Butters be rescued and brought to a more rural area, or should she just be left alone? Ling says he knows what side he's on.
I am on the side of Butters should just be left alone. Because, like I said, I think it got here on its own. It seems to be doing all right on its own. And I think, you know, if it wants to leave, it can do that. Or it'll just hang out here for a while.
No one is sure how Butters was able to find her way to the city. Wild turkeys can fly, but they don't travel distances longer than a quarter mile at a time. Some people are speculating she may have flown from a local wooded area. Either way, for now, she is calling NDG her home. Chanelie Desparois, Concordia News, Montreal.
That's your news till 11:45 a.m. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Thomas Quinn.